Okay, we are starting to feel convention and appreciate so much what the Spirit wants to say and how He ministers to us in the body. Wow, I am so blessed and encouraged just to see and sense what the Lord has done, is doing, and will do. What do you think? You sense that too? Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, the text I want to. So the service will go, I'll speak for 10 or 15 minutes. We'll do the offering, then I'll introduce two brothers from two different countries. Let me do that introduction now. Do we have a picture of Kyrgyzstan that can go up on the screen? Kyrgyzstan, okay. This is a part of the world that many of us may not know about. It's right on the border of China. North is Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan to the west, Tajikistan, then you come down to Afghanistan, just below Kyrgyzstan, like China, and there is a little bit of Nepal, and then you're in India. And this is called Central Asia. And it's like former part of the Soviet Union. And some of us lived during the time when the Soviet Union was empowered and running, governing, and ruling in this part of the world. And we know about global politics a little bit, but then we also know about Christ, about God, about faith, about the gospel. And back in the 90s, we were doing a lot of mission work in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union as it had changed. It had fallen apart, you could say. These countries became independent countries. And we went there by God's grace and preached for some period of time. And then some of our people moved there and lived there. And in this country, I think Aya lived there for a little while. Pastor Gromov, he's the one that planted the church. And God, this is an amazing thing I want you to see here, chapter 3, verse 4. One says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe? So, in a way, he's downplaying who those men are. And we have that kind of understanding, too. Like, as a pastor here, I know and I appreciate I have a place here, but you are deeper. We are deeper than just being a group of socially connected, religiously connected people. We are spirit-filled. We are discerning. We are recognizing the work of God. So one man comes, another goes. One comes and he goes, another comes, and that goes like that. Because who are these people? They are only ministers, and we can add, they are only here for a while. So let's get used to that. Say hi and bye. Go ahead. Say hi. Hi. Hi, Pastor Schaller. Bye-bye. Bye, Pastor Schaller. Now, wait a minute. You don't like that bye-bye part, but actually, that's a part of our life. That's a part of life because we see the work. We see what it is. Yes, it's not about these people. It's about Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who gives gifts. And so we are praying as a body for not only the time we are living in now, and also in our country, and also our growth, and also what is God doing, and then also the next leader, whoever he might be for our church one day. And I'm not in a hurry to get out of here. I know some of you are like, hey, move along. May move along. It's okay, move along. But it's God. Watch this. Chapter 3, verse 5. They are ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So we have seen an increase. And just to talk about these two men for a minute, they are Pastor Dinesh, he is the first time here from Goa, India. Pastor Emil has been here before, but he's been the pastor 18 years of the Greater Grace Church in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. And he's a medical doctor by training, but he's also a pastor. Where did he come from? Where did God, how did that happen? Where did he come from? How much money do you pay him in order to do what he does? You can't pay him. There's something deeper that's happened in his life. He's born again, spirit-filled, hungry for God, has been pastoring. God is using him. Well, look, go to the next verse, 7. It says, so then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. It is amazing in Kyrgyzstan that they have built a church. And I think it took 10 years. We were there walking in the property when there was nothing there, a dog barking. Remember the dog barking? We know about the dog in Nurlan living in a shack with the dog on a chain barking. And a vision and faith. And through years. And then a beautiful building. And then filling it up with people. People were there already. Where did they come from? That's Jesus. Where did you come from? Jesus. What do you mean? Well, Jesus moving me in my heart. Like opening my ears. Remember Lydia, God opened her heart. Well, Pastor Emil could live another life, but God opened his heart. And God put in his heart. And he became the president of the United Theological Seminary of Kyrgyzstan for 3 years. Like voted in, wanted him, they wanted him to be the president because guys, like they could say, like all, like however God does that, but what I'm trying to say is, I know, yeah, I know that this week, next week, we'll be celebrating this work that God has done through many people, like through prayers of many people in different parts of the world. Now, some of us, I mean, I would say I live in Rosedale or I live in Dundalk. I got plenty to do. My world is here in the area in Baltimore, and this is my life. But stretch your heart and your mind and just enjoy the fact that people have come from far away. And I know you do, but I just to realize, wow, the gospel of grace, that's the gospel of grace. That means people are hearing about the grace of God for bad people. Who comes into our church? Bad people and good people, and they get saved. Good and bad, they get saved and born again and changed. And learn grace and grow in all the religion in the world is, all the religion of the world is very strange to us, very empty, very legalistic, very hard, very empty. There is not the knowledge of God. And I'm saying it this way. Yeah, Jesus said, you come to me. I am the answer. I am the living water. I am the door. I am the rock. You come to me and you know me. And I know you. And I send you. Okay, lastly, chapter 3, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And that's another thing about this. It's amazing. You drill a hole right here through the earth, right through the middle, right through, you come up in his backyard. I mean, they're at the opposite side of the earth. They're at the other end. They are at the other side of the earth. Amazing. And yet we are the same. We have the same Father, same Spirit, same Word, same purpose. We have the same grace. We are in the same body. We have the same calling. I have to glorify our Heavenly Father. We have the same Father. We have the same frailties, the same weaknesses, the same kind of guilt and fears and everything else. But the ministry of the gospel of Christ builds us up. And we hear a voice. And we are encouraged in it. It's amazing. So Pastor Emil has, I think, five children. Four boys, three girls, two girls, three boys, big family, wonderful wife, great team. Timor is here, the youth leader. Here is somewhere, I don't know where is he. Back there is Timor, he's the youth leader from Kyrgyzstan. First time, beautiful. And Pastor Pete Westera, others, Pastor Mati, Pastor Gromov, that we are very much involved in caring about this part of the world and that the gospel would go there. And Marco Polo, everybody remember Marco Polo? Don't we play that in the swimming pool, Marco Polo? Okay, so he traveled overland to China and came back from China to Europe through Uzbekistan and through Central Asia. And he had written one in every 10 villages in that area was Christian. Christianity used to be there. Then there is the Islam, and then there is the Soviet and atheism and so on. In the mountains of Tajikistan, up in the mountains, Pastor Mati tells a story that there's this big sign, let's see, what is it? Lenin, you know how we say Jesus, Hebrews 13, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And up in the mountains, Lenin, yesterday, today, and forever. And when he saw that sign, he got motivated. We have to come. We have to come and bring the gospel. And of course, that's our prayer here in Greater Grace. It's our prayer. It's our hearts. It's our school. It's our church. It's our purpose, because God has these kind of people that are waiting and in their heart prepared and thinking about it. And we are going and sending and going to open our mouths and be very bold. One short story. Pastor Mati was in Uzbekistan, in Bukhara, and it was International Women's Day, I think, and they had a little concert, and they had a big hall, 600 people, and they said, and it was, he was told, you cannot preach the gospel here in this place. And he looked in the curtain before the meeting, he looked through the hole in the curtain, and he saw the whole room is filled with people. And he went backstage. He prayed and he goes, I got to preach the gospel. I've got to preach the gospel. You know, I'll get kicked out of the country, but I got to go out being, I got to go out preaching the gospel. So the band played, the musicians played, the whole thing happened, and he preached the gospel. He asked people to raise their hands. Everyone in the room raised their hands. Now, I don't know what they, I know he does a great job preaching, but I wanted to say, everybody in the room, I love that. And he wasn't kicked out of the country. He was welcomed. They brought flowers and everything, you know. I mean, it was an awesome story. Okay. Second brother here is Pastor Dinesh from Goa. Let's put the India map up for the folks here because we are geography people, right? Okay, that looks like, okay, there. You go from Mumbai, I don't know, halfway there, then you go down, there's a city there called Goa. Pastor Dinesh, another person, he's been the pastor there 11 years of the church in Goa, and he's a dentist by profession. He's a dentist, so look at the big, beautiful smile. He's looking at you guys, and you need help. All right, so, but he's a pastor. Grace message, faith, I love it, oneness, hearts. Who did this? Who did this? Jesus did. There's no way we would have the unity, the love, the faith, the joy, the peace, the purpose. Jesus did this. Different people. Joe Swader, Pastor Carl, Pastor Brian, Pastor Anil, Pastor, and on it goes. And all these, who are these people? They are only vessels that the Lord uses, but it is God that saves a soul. God that fills us with the Spirit. God that opens our hearts and uses us. And like, I'm so happy when we get together like this and hear these different portions. They're awesome. So after the offering, we'll hear from those two brothers. So Lord, bless the offering tonight. We thank you for providing all the resources to make so much happen. We pray that you would bless this offering and the work everywhere in the world and pour out more and more and turn our country to you, Lord, and find you are seeking and saving. Thank you, Jesus, your name, amen.
Good evening. It's really great to be here. So I'm really enjoying, and I'm feeling like in a family. So first time I came to Baltimore in 2006, and then several times. And the last time actually I was here was 2012. So 12 years I was not here. But I attended Eurocon and other conferences. And really, it's so much joy to be here always. And with me came we are here now three people. So Timur, as you already know, he is our youth leader. And then we also have Fatima here, Sister Fatima. She is a sister of Nurjamal, or Nora. The sister-in-law of Daniel, maybe you know. I think you know them. A great family. They hosted us also in their house, and praise the Lord. So we are feeling like we are in a family. And it's great to see also old friends here. To see your faces, smiles, and everything. So thank you so much for opportunity to share. So maybe we can pray now. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and I pray that you would bless this short word of introduction and give us thoughts for us to think. In Jesus' name, amen. So today is a Father's Day here in America, and we already many times received congratulations, and even my family, actually, I don't know how they knew. I didn't tell them about them, but they sent me also some video with congratulations. So I really say to all fathers, happy Father's Day today. God bless you. And I wanted to connect a little bit with this topic. And but in the beginning, I just wanted to start with this, like, when I was working in the seminary, so there was very interesting tradition. I worked for one term there, 3 years. And there was interesting tradition when the graduates would finish seminary. At the end of the ceremony, there would be also washing the feet ceremony. These students would sit down at the ceremony, and they were sitting down, and all of us teachers, we would just come and kneel down and start wash their feet. And then it was very unusual for me when I saw this, very, very, very unusual for me. And but then it was thought-provoking for me. I started to think, about this story from John 13, when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And I was thinking, for whom it would be, for what a person, it is not a humiliation, it's not like a, at the same time, it's not a humiliation, it's not like a bad thing, but you wash the feet of somebody. And then I was thinking about this, I invented this illustration. Maybe this illustration would be helpful. Just imagine you walk on the street, and it's a muddy street, and in the street you see a puddle of mud. Muddy puddle, yeah? And then the boy was walking on the street and slipped and landed on this puddle. And he's like miserable and he's crying there, and like it's like he's dirty and he's cold there. And then there are different people like passing by. Different people passing by this boy. And there is one man is like walking by and saying, "Hey boy, what are you doing here? Just look at yourself. You are stinky and you are like dirty now. So you are such a bad person. How could you just become in that situation now? Like, look at yourself. You are bad." And then there is a second man is passing by near also. And he's saying, "Hey," let's say he's, what was his name? Let's his name, Emil. "Hey, Emil, didn't I warn you before? So that there are muddy streets here, that there are these muddy puddles here. Didn't you remember that I warned you and said to you, no, don't go there. But now just look at yourself that you are in this situation. You didn't listen to my teaching." So then there is third guy is walking also there. And he's saying, "So you will always be in this kind of mud now. Just look. So if you just failed there, so it means like you'll always be failing now." So, and then there is fourth guy, fourth man. You don't tired about this, Pastor Bryce? So then there is a fourth man is walking by and he's saying, "You know, I have for you 12 steps of getting out of that mud. So if you follow my instructions, there will be just four, 12 steps. So you should do this and this and then next and next." And then the last guy comes and he says, "Hey, man, you should have a positive thinking about this mud. You should have a positive thinking. Just think that you are not in the puddle of mud, but you are somewhere in Hawaii. Like, you can swim here and just think about this positively." So, and this illustration just speaks us about that, you know, how often we are in that kind of situations. Yeah, and how often we could be in both sides also. So we would be either ourselves in that mud, or maybe we are kind of that kind of passerbys telling to people. But there is Jesus, which comes and starts to wash the feet. Like in this story of John 13, he knew that Apostle Peter, he's going to fail. He's going to reject Jesus. He's going to deny Jesus Christ. Jesus says to him, "You don't know what I am doing to you now, but you will know later. And you need to be washed away. You need to be washed away." And so the answer to this question, for whom it would be not a humiliation to come and wash the feet? And the question, this is a father. So I just remember it like when I was a kid, and when I was just playing somewhere outside, football maybe playing. And then when I, in the evening, come back home and with the dirty food. And that was the father or mother who just come. And for them, it was not a bad thing, you know, to wash us. I think that in this story of washing the feet, Jesus Christ demonstrated what is a true fatherhood. Yeah, he was like, when he was washing the foot of his disciples, he was a father for them. And it is sort of, I think, so many times Jesus does for that those things for us also. Right? Like, so many times we are in that kind of situations, but I am so great. It is so great that whenever something happens, we just come to Jesus and we say, like, "Jesus, please, I need your ministry to me, ministry of restoration." And we can just trust and have absolute faith in that Jesus comes and starts to wash our feet. And for him, it's never... And he never says, like, any reproach to us. Like in James 1:5, yeah, it says, like, whenever we need wisdom, we come to God, and he gives us this wisdom without reproach. And then I wanted to read the verse, a couple of verses also. Let's open the book of John, chapter 13. Verse 13 also, 13:13. And Jesus says here, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." 14. "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And I think really today we are living in that kind of world where the church really needs fathers. Like, really, unfortunately, very often we are like children also. And when children, like, when I look at my children also, and they sometimes argue with each other and, like, trying to, defend who is greater. Yeah? Does it happen? Yeah? Jesus Christ was saying that soon he is going to be crucified, and apostles are, like, arguing with each other, who is greater among them, you know, like, who is greater and who has more rights, or maybe who is right, who is correct. defend, they want to defend their own truths. But Jesus Christ is that kind of a person who comes and makes a ministry of restoration, helps us, washes us. And he said one wonderful thing also. To those who are washed already completely, they need just to be, they need to be washed their feet. It means like in our daily walk with Christ, we make mistakes. Yeah, but Jesus never rejects us, and he continues to minister us. Amen? Yeah.
On? Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't want to speak like this on a pulpit generally, but I Pastor Schaller is my hero as such for the last 25 years, and I can't say no to him, so I just took up. So I really never dreamt about coming to Baltimore. I never dreamt. It is too high for me. Even at home, when my wife sometimes says about this, going to Baltimore, I quote Psalm 131, I say, we should not concern about things too great for us. So it happened, somebody else dreamt, and they said, I sense that God is speaking to me that you should go for the convention next year. And it's because of somebody else's dream that I came and sat today morning in the church, and I was thinking, wow, this is amazing. I should have dreamt about this sometime back. At the same time, I was thinking, most of us are not dreaming about heaven, but we have a dreamer. And the dreamer is dreaming about us being there with him. Isn't it? And we don't know how that place is exactly now. But one day it's going to be like how I was surprised today morning sitting here. We're all going to be surprised over there. Because we have a great dreamer. He's dreaming about us. We are his dream. Amen. So I want to thank, we have a sweet body in Goa. Very loving. They love me very much. And they send you their greetings to you. And wish, many of you could come to Goa and enjoy the body. And they're really sweet, nice people, actually. Few of you have come. Pastor Fredelis has come. Pastor Bertram has come there. Be great to see many of you there. Okay? It's an open invitation to all of you. Yeah. So thank you for hosting, especially Pastor Linus Hall and Carol. They're a great host for me. Pastor Doug Pearson is also taking me around, so thank you. Okay. And my wife and my family, I really want to... We are in a crisis right now. I was in half a mind to cancel coming here. Keep us in prayer. My wife has sacrificed 3 weeks, and she's holding the fort there. And... Yeah, so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31. And that's a verse that I want to think about now. Okay. I want to thank each one of you. You don't know how much you're ministering to us when we are back in places. Generally everybody comes and thanks Pastor Schaller. I think, being a pastor of a church, I know how each member is so important. It's like a watch, a wristwatch, analog watch. If something, one wheel is not working properly, we can't read the time. In that way, you know, like each of you, you might be thinking, I'm not doing anything, coming to the church, sitting in the pews and just going out. But you being here, you know, the AV team, the security, the music team, you know, whatever, whoever is involved in it, and everybody is like, you don't know how much you are playing a part in our lives in the field. And you are ministering to us. We watch something here, Grace Hour, you know, or the lunch wrap or the services here, and we are ministered. It's all because of you. Your giving, your participation, your presence here. Thank you. Thank each one of you, okay? Okay. let's look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And it says 1 verse 31. Therefore, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And my Bible uses the word, let him who boast, boast in the Lord. It's a great verse to think. When God created us to boast. God created us to boast about what he has done, created us to boast in him. But sin came in, and sin made us deviate, go off the path, and we still boast, but we have failed to boast in the Lord. If we look around, you know, every person boasts, whether he's a rich man, whether he's a poor man, whether he's an educated man or an illiterate, he's a slave or he's a free man. Everybody is boasting. But they fail to boast in the Lord. And they don't understand. You know, in the Bible when we look, we see a lot of people boasted. Solomon boasted. We see Goliath boasting. We see the Pharaoh boasting. We see a lot of boasting happening. But very few people recognize that, you know, boasting, glorying in our own self, pride, goes before a fall. Very few people recognize, both temporally in time and as well eternally, we can say pride goes before a fall. Man in a sense, is making a very broad road. He's building wide gates for his own self, for his own glory, trying to achieve, having a goal, having an ambition. Man would want to say, you know, the places that I visited. Man would want to talk about the people that he knows. Man would want to say about the possessions that he has. You know, this is a heart of a man. A heart of a man is not looking to ask the question, who is God? Where is God? You know, that question doesn't really come up. But, you know, God wants to take us from these broad roads that man is making. And he wants us to take us to a narrow road. He wants us to take us to a narrow road. That narrow road leads all the way up to Jerusalem. If you want to identify with anything in this last 6,000 years of history of mankind, if you want to, you know, hold on to something, God is telling this narrow road, you know, that's leading us to outside of Jerusalem, to the Golgotha, where we see this in Jesus Christ hanging on a cross before which he was beaten, he was punched, his beard plucked out. There was a crown of thorns that was put on his head. He was disrobed, he was naked. There was a spear that was thrust in him. And he was beaten so much that in Isaiah 52:14 it says that when he was hanging on the cross, we couldn't say whether it was a human being or a piece of flesh that was hanging over there. He was bearing our sin. He was not just bearing our sin, he was bearing us completely. He was bearing us wholly. He had become our substitute. He's asking this question, is that sufficient for you? Is that a good enough boast for you? Is that good enough to glory in? When Satan defied God and moved out, he had to be thrown out. God had taken a decision that God will not fight him according to his strength. God will not fight him according to his wisdom. So God came down to the lowestmost part of his wisdom. The foolishness of God is what we can see on the cross. It is the weakness of God that we can see on the cross. You know, if we can take all man's intelligence, put it together, of the whole entire human race, put it together, it still falls short of the foolishness of God. Can we understand that? You know, that is not something that man would want to fathom. You put all of man's strength, every type of strength, you know, there is nuclear, there is wind, there is thermal, you know, you put any type of energy that you can, put it all together, put every bit of man's strength together, you know, it is still not comparable to the weakness of God that was demonstrated for us on the cross. When we understand, you know, when we understand this, we will think of boasting in the Lord. That's the place God wants to take us. That's a narrow path. Many would want to reject it, but God is telling, that's the boast. That's what you need to glory in. And if we glory in that, God is very happy. That is what he created us for. That is what he wants to do in us. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this. Why are we here? How are we here today? How are we here? The answer would be because of Jesus. We are here. Why are we here today? Why are we here? The answer is, I want to boast in Jesus. What am I going to do when I go out from here? The answer should be, I want to boast in Jesus. I want to boast about Jesus. I want to boast in Jesus to my friends, to my neighbors, to my relatives, to my classmates, to my colleagues. And then we are missionaries then. Let me ask you this. Let me give a shout out. Give a shout out and answer me back. How are you all here today? Why are we here today? Pardon? Because of Jesus. You know, when we go out from here, what are we going to do? Boast about Jesus. It's all about boasting in Jesus. You know, we boast in Jesus continuously. You know, because of the boast of Jesus, we are here. Because of the boast of Jesus, we are here. Today, now, and you know, when we go out, we are going to boast in the Lord. It's really amazing. You know, the system of medicine that, you know, Pastor Ramir and Pastor Me are doing is allopathic. What we do is we try to suppress the symptom. You know, there is a system of medicine called homeopathy. You know, what homeopathy does is, you know, we don't allow it to suppress. We allow it to, you know, grow more. You know, we don't practice it. I don't recommend also. But, but you know, that's a system. God is telling man has got a problem in boasting. Man is proud. I like the example which Pastor Shallow brought out. Pride is something that we don't recognize. It's like bad breath. You know, other people recognize that. Yeah, very much true with my profession. You know, God doesn't suppress our profession. God doesn't suppress our problem of boasting. God says, let it out. Let it out. But then he gives a direction. He gives the problem of pride, you know, is controlled, is taken care by allowing us to boast in the true thing, and that is to boast in the Lord. If you boast in the Lord, that is our completion, that is our satisfaction, that is our joy. And if you recognize it early in our life, and if you make it a part of our life, we are really successful. We are victorious. Amen.